Father, as we approach your throne this morning, Lord, so happy, Lord, that we come to you, as Brother Branham said, free from all the guilt, Lord, that we had on us in the past, Lord. And how that you turned us, Lord, away from this world and made us new, Lord, made us new creatures. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. And Father, as we go to start the service this morning, we want to remember Brother Michael and the pain he's suffering in his back, Lord. We pray you'll reach out and touch him, Lord. He trusts your word, Lord. He's standing with it. And we know that you always stand with your word, Lord. We're just asking, Lord, to see the results. And in your time, Lord, we're happy with that. We just are coming to you to ask, Lord, because you said to ask, that our joy might be full, Lord. And we pray that you'll be in the service and speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we open the word and as we sing and worship, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's turn over to page 30 and let's sing Higher Ground. Brother Michael, he can just pick them off the top of his head, but I have to get some help from the missus on this. She's helped me out here. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. He does it every single day. He puts us on a higher ground. Think about it. You got to have him when you get up on those higher grounds. They say when you go up in the mountains, the air gets thinner and thinner. So you have to get used to it. And the Lord takes us there as we get used to it. He takes us there. Amen. All right, so let's turn over to page 41, Wings of a Dove. Trina knows the ones I hum and sing in the car all the time, so she's pulling them out for me. Noah had drifted on the floods many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though here rejected, but not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. You think about that. Why? Now, who? How many of you know that? Who wrote that last verse? Do you know who wrote the last verse? Brother Branham wrote that last verse. When he preached the message on the wings of a dove, late there in 1965, he said, "I have another verse for you," and he sung it, and so they added it in for us. There's a lot to that, too, about that dove, that seventh dove. He saw the seventh dove. And seven means complete. And you know how he talked about his ministry having seven peaks and having the three poles in those peaks. There's a lot there. Maybe the Lord will let us dig into that sometime. But we're so happy with them. But the message he left us. All right, so I think we have some Bible verses. So let's, I'm going to bring the recorder over there so we can hear them a little better. All right, who wants to go first? All right.
Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good job. You want to go next?
Walk in the light as he is in the light.
All right. Good job. Proud of y'all. I know that's not easy. Uncle Chris didn't have to learn Bible verses when he was a kid, but he had to do other stuff in school. And every time I'd get it memorized, I'd stand up and forget it all, just like that. So I'm glad y'all got it. So y'all want to sing a couple songs? Let's, what about bubbling? What you want to do? Give up and let Jesus. All right, y'all have to help me. Give up and let Jesus take over. 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 And he'll make a way for you. One more time. Well, give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. And he'll make a way. So let's Eston have one?
Strong Tower.
Strong Tower? Okay. Well, he's coming here. We'll just wait for him just a second. Do I have the words for that one? Strong Tower? I think it's just a few words. Let me see if I can find it in here. Strong tower you can run into. I'm not sure if we had it out or not. Sing it. So let's go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. All right. What about let's bubble? Let's bubble one time, Esther. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and laughing since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I just can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. One more time. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and laughing since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I just can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Amen. Let's sing Every Day with Jesus. It's page 423, the little chorus. Day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for. Day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. That's the truth. All right, so I believe we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll go to the message. Father, we so enjoy the songs, Lord. Lord, the words, as it says, every day is sweeter, Lord. And I believe every time we sing the songs, Lord, they become more personal, more real, more telling of the life that's in us, Lord. And Lord, even sometimes new songs coming forth, Lord. Lord, our lives being a song, a worship to you, all day long, Lord. May it be so. May you help us in the message this morning, Lord, and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Trusting everything's going to work out for Brother Michael, and he can get some relief. Not just get relief, but just be healed of the whole thing. And I know it's just Satan trying to hinder, so he has no rights. Amen. So we not going to exactly continue the thought from Thursday night, but there'll be some things that'll carry over, and I think I might even pull a quote or two over from there. But I keep going back to this quote where he says there's going to be churches, brides, but there has to come a real one. There has to come one. A real one. A real bride. I mean, why would he say that? That all those others were the bride or part of it? Why would he say there has to come a real one? What does that mean? And so let's look at it and look at things from the beginning to the end almost here. So let's go back into a quote I ran across called Thy House in 1961. And he preached this I don't guess that's too far from here, Tifton, Georgia. And Brother Ram's talking about how God is bringing the world into being. And he's going down through the different things that happens as he's bringing the world into being. Then come a world. Now, I've heard scientists talk about this stuff, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. But I hear him talk about it, and it just seems to be so real. Just even talking about the world coming into existence. Brother Ram said, then come a world, and after the world come a creation, and after the creation come a law to creation. After there was a world, what makes this world? How can anybody explain it? What makes the world? Turn a ball any way you want to, throw it in the air. Now he's talking about Earth being a ball. So he says, turn a ball any way you want to and throw it into the air. It won't take two turns and make it a billion turns per second. So it won't even take two turns in the same place, much less a bunch of turns. It'll not make two turns in the same place. Now he's talking about Earth staying in the same place, turning on time for all these years. And yet we got a record of 6,000 years. This world has never missed a time. Turning 24 hours just exactly, standing in nowhere. Standing in nowhere. And it's turning on time. Exactly. What makes the world? And what is that? This great person, before there was a world, that's that great person in there, a law of God making it turn. It was the person before the world, the one who started it all, he's the one making it turn. He's the one making it stay in place. God making it turn, the same law of God. He just spoke it into existence. It was in his mind, and he spoke it into existence. You know how Brother Bram said he spoke it into existence? He spoke it, and that was the word, and he just believed his own word, and that brought it into being. He believed his own word, and it brought it into being. He just spoke it into existence. He's a creator. He creates. See, that's why that world was made without. By faith. God made the world because his own faith, see, made the world. He spoke it into existence. His faith made it into the world. And that's how, see, he come on down making man and all the animals till he come down to sin. He could not make sin. That was on his list of things to make. And he could not make sin. Why was it on his list? Brother Ram's talking about it. He's coming on down. He made man, he made animals till he come down to sin. But he could not make sin because he cannot be righteous and the father of righteousness and make sin. So you know what he done? He made man in his own image. And knowing that he would fall. So he come down and he needs to make sin. And he can't make sin. So he makes a man that he knows is going to fall. He makes a man he knows is going to do it on his own. He made a man in his own image. Knowing that he would fall. He made a man in his image. Knowing he would fall. Don't miss those little things, just them little things. He made it in His image, knowing He would fall. And knowing that He would fall, but put Him on a basis of free moral agency. Now, don't touch this tree. Now, He couldn't say, he knowed He was going to touch it. He told Him not to, and He knowed He was going to. But He couldn't him to touch it, because He said, touch this tree and you live, being the tree of life, and touch this tree and you die. See, you remember what Jesus told the little woman at the well? He said, if you knew who was speaking to you, which was the tree made flesh, the tree of life made flesh in front of her, He said, you'd ask Me for a drink, and you would never thirst again. So if they'd already took of this tree, there'd no be question of that other tree anymore. It's over. And isn't that what Brother Branham taught us happened in this day? That once you're born again, it's over. There's no question about it. He said, you won't go out to Him, and He can't get into you. Now, that's different. Touch this tree and you live, and touch this tree and you die. See, He knew man would fail, but yet He couldn't make him fail. He had to do it on Himself, so that makes God righteous. So man had to do it Himself. See, man fell Himself. After He made him so close to Himself, He put him on basis of free moral agency, therefore, and there's where he fell. By his own free moral agent act, he fell. And today, each one of you children and each one of us, each of us adults, is placed by them same two trees. But now what does the tree become? Now the tree is not a law, like Brother Branham said he gave it to Adam. The tree is grace now. What did God do for you already? You accept what He's done for you already. Because you can't do it. You have to accept what He's done. We can accept life or refuse it. See? So God just spoke it into existence. And the world was framed. This very floor is God's word. The wood in this floor is God's word, Brother Ram said. When he spoke the first tree, they always say, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it was the chicken. They do it now like that's nonsense and stuff. God spoke the first tree and brought it forth. It was come from a seed, comes from His seed, but not what they're thinking, not how they're thinking. So, because Brother Branham said everything that was spoken was a spoken word, and it came from that. But he's saying that this tree, the trees that this floor come from, was once in God's mind. You see that? It was in His thoughts that He thought there would be trees here. And it came down and it made trees. And when, because He believed His own word. And the trees were growing there in the garden. And they weren't dying. None of them were dying. And then the fall comes and now we start chopping them up. And it's God's word that's been deformed into a floor. It's the creation that He believed and brought into existence. And it's been deformed and brought like this. Now think about man. This very floor in God's word, this thing here is God's word. This thing here is God's word. I don't know what he was pointing at. Maybe he was talking about his body or the podium or something. Our bodies are God's word. And everything there is God's word. See, because it all originated from God. Why is it God's word? Because it originated from Him. It doesn't matter how far deformed it is, it still started when God brought those things into play. But God one day is going to make one that can't be bent, can't be twisted, can't be t- took away. Can't be nothing done like that. Now, we're going to read that here in just a little bit. So here we are in the power of transformation. We're still looking at the garden there a little bit. Now, we notice here in Genesis 1, he said, "And he formed man in his own image, in his own likeness. In the image of God made he made him male and female." So the original one was male and female. They were both in the same body, Brother Bram said. That's the one he said couldn't fall. The one where they were both male and female. That's the one that couldn't fall. See, he was making man. He just spoke the word. He spoke the word, and here they come forth, male and female, in the same body. Then we find out after his many days had passed, maybe hundreds and hundreds of years, there was still no man to till the soil. Now, that was the spirit, and when he made him in the body, it was the same thing. Nobody to till the soil. So when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, that's when they were together, also in the same body. See, he had spoke the word, and then the word had to take place. Why? Why does any word take place? If it's his word, it has to take place because he believes it. And if he gives you that belief and you decide not to take it, you become the deformed part of the world. And if you take his belief, you become that. And there they are in the garden, and they took the wrong one, and they become the deformed. And when he said, "Let there be light," maybe there might have been hundreds of years, maybe 800 years, before there ever was a light. But it come to pass because God said so. He believed it, he said it, and he believed it, and it happened. And God is going to have a church. I don't care how many dark ages we go through. Now, you remember, look what he's talking at. The dark age is what come there in the middle of the church age, when it went down into rotted and came back up. I don't care how many dark ages we go through and whatever more. He's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. That's his goal. He's going to have a church without a spot and without a wrinkle. And how will it be without a spot or without a wrinkle unless it has his faith to believe the word that he put in them? He has to have that. They have to have that to bring that. His faith. Now, you remember Brother Branham talking about so many times he talked about their. He said, when Malachi 4 comes back, he's going to restore the faith of the fathers. Back to the faith of the father. Go look up that word, that phrase, the faith. Brother Bram said, not a faith, the faith. The faith of Christ, the faith of God in man. And when he said they walked undefiled there in the beginning, he said they walked undefiled there in that first church age for a while. And then what did they do? Before the faith could bring forth, they turned loose of it. And so God has to bring it back to that. You have to come back to his mind, come back to his thought, so that it will happen the way he believes it should be, and it will be. He is going to have a church without spot or wrinkle, whether we are part of it or not, because he has already said it's going to happen. And when we take that word into our hearts, believing because he put it in our hearts to believe, then it comes to pass. And that's what we're praying for this morning, that God will put that portion in Brother Michael's heart, and it'll bring forth the promise that God is the healer. Amen. He's already done it. He's already spoke it. It's got a heart to fall into. Now, right here, this is in Ephesians church age. Someone's going to ask me the question, did God tell Eve to watch out for the serpent, or the serpent would seduce her? Did he warn her? Now listen, God didn't have to say one thing about what would happen. I love how Brother Brandon is defending things. Just get the point of the story. See, they're trying to break it all up and make it all these other things, and he's saying, just get the point of the story. That's what he's trying to say. He simply gave the word. He said, not to partake of knowledge, partake of life. Life was the word of God. So if you're going to partake of life, you have to partake of nothing but life. If anywhere in there you take of death, you did not partake of life. I hope that hits home. Partaking of life. Life was the word of God. Death was anything that wasn't the word of God. She allowed one word to be changed, and right then Satan had her. Now, y'all can read the rest of the quote there, but I just left it in instead of doing the dot, dot, dots. I just leave the whole quote in. All right. So he's going to have this church without spot and without wrinkle. But he's got a man that's failing. And even when the man hadn't failed, he still went against God when the situation presented itself. And he had spoke the word, and his great creating power had formed these things that come up. And even the man and woman, they were the head because they were super to all the other races. And he put them under care of the same thing that he put trees, animals, and so forth. His word. So we've said this a bunch of times, but he gave them his word. Brother Ram said he fortified them behind the word. He gave them faith. They could hold on to that faith or not. And you say, Brother Chris, you can't have faith and then turn it loose. Oh, you can. Because we watched Peter do it in the Bible. Peter had faith and then he got scared. They must not, never, by no means break the word. What was the word they were given? You must not, never, by no means break the word. So if that's what he said and you're to partake of that, then you remember what I said a while ago. If you partake of anything else, you've broke this, and you have not partaken of the word. They must stay there. Don't never take anything from it or add anything to it. You must live by this word. That's the only way we're going to live, is by the word. And what did Brother Bam say happened in harvest time? He said that the bread, the man was made bread. He said that grain was ground up on the cross and made bread for you and I, so that we might attain our inheritance. All right, so this is in Ephesians also. God's intention for man, for his creation, man, is to express his words. Now we're saying some of the same things over and over, just hitting them in different places, different types. So when God made man, we hit this quote when we were up there at the camp, and I was bringing Hope in on the thing about expressing the words. Whenever my mom and dad raised me, my dad, when I went to school, he said, this was his expression. He said, if you go to school and you get a paddling, when you get home, you're going to get another one. And I thought, well, Why would I get two paddlings? And I thought about that for a long time, and I thought how unjust I thought that was. It was just wrong. And when I got to be a parent, I realized what he was doing. He was telling me that you better listen to that authority at school, because I'm going to back that authority up when you get home. And I didn't realize that, but it sunk in. I didn't want the first one, much less the second one. And so he was letting me know that he had confidence in them at that school. And if I did something I wasn't supposed to, then I was going to pay for it. But he was expressing to me what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to act. And that's what God's doing with man. It's he's expressing his own attributes, his own characteristics, and the things about him. He's doing it in man. And if he gives man his word and man doesn't do it, he still has already said, man is going to express my words. And so he puts them in the garden and they don't. They express something else. So he's still going to express his words. So we're going to pick up there here in just a few minutes. Adam was given the word to live by. And to back up what I just said, a life lived by the word would be the word expressed. That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? No. Because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. Then there rose Moses. What a great and mighty man he was. Yet he also failed to live by every word that the prophet, and that prophet, the type of the great prophet to come, failed in anger to obey the word. See, God is going to fill this word. Some man is going to express his word. Because he's done said it. He's going to make it happen. And there was also David, the great king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. He failed by adultery when he was tempted. So we're going to break into the middle of that quote and bring this one in, and we'll come back to the rest of that quote here in a second. God, he is talking about God, had in his heart, before the foundation of the world, a son. He had it in his heart that he wanted to express himself as a son. A son is man, right? Because he is a father. But it was still in the genes of his word. Genes of the word when he spoke to Adam and Eve back there and said, don't touch this tree. Was that the genes of his word? Think about it. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's going to bring it to pass. He's going to have a man who lives by every word. And that will express his word. Because he is a father, but it was still in the genes of his word. And he created a man, and he had to put him on free moral agency, but that man failed. So where is it? Still in the genes of his word, coming forth. But the great sculptor God, who made man from the dust of the earth, he didn't settle for that. He started making man again. He made him one time, and he failed on free moral agency, God knowing he was going to do it. Now he's making him again. He started making man again. And he made Noah. He died drunk. He made a Moses that failed to keep his word. He made prophets that ran in the time of trouble. And he kept building and molding until after a while he wanted a masterpiece to reflect him. His nature. What was in his heart that a son should be. That was in his heart. That was had been spoken, and it was still in the genes of his word. And he'd been bringing that to pass all this time. What was in his heart? What a son should be. One day down on Jordan, after that masterpiece had been formed and made, here he come, sending down on the wings of a dove. And we sung that song a few minutes ago. What came down on the wings of a dove? This is God saying, this is him. This was what was in my heart. This is what I thought a man should be. This is a man who is expressing my words as I said he would do. This is him. And here I come. He comes down and he anoints him. He dwells in him. Had been formed and made, and here he come down, sending down on the wings of a dove. This is him. He was so enthused with his masterpiece until he struck him on Calvary that he would die for the rest of us was imperfect. We were imperfect. That through the shedding of his blood, he might bring many masterpieces, being a bride. So the way he had before the foundation of the world to bring many masterpieces was to do it right here through God, through Christ, as a part of his son. Masterpiece scarred because the enthusiasm of God to see such a masterpiece. Can you think about that? It so enthused him to see that this man was exactly like what he had in his heart. This had never took place yet. Now it took place. And it so enthused God to see that. Now what about the bride in this day when he sees her come and like Ruth, take her blanket and lay down at his feet, at the feet of this message? Think about that. What that's going to do to him, not to strike her, but to indwell her. He struck him for all of us, for us all. See, there he died to perfect we who were imperfect. A masterpiece. Perfection doesn't fall. But eventually, in the fullness of time, and we're picking up on that other quote where we were talking about a while ago, Brother Branham talked about that Adam had not lived the word. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there come one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word. So even Jesus is being tempted. So don't say that Adam didn't have something to overcome. He did. He had something to overcome. Every son that cometh must be tested. Jesus, virgin born, he was tested. The testing is to show. And he did. And he said, then Satan was foiled. Then there was a man who had lived by all the word. And he became bread. For here was one who lived by it is written. And that masterpiece of God overcome by reflecting God's word. Then was this manifested perfect one given to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And on the tree he received the wounds unto death that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life. And then that life freely given would enable us to overcome and express the word, which is what God said man was going to do, express his word. And so when man didn't, God had to make a way for him to do it. And now, and in the making of the way, of him coming down and indwelling man and it becoming one, he actually revealed what he was going to do in that. Becoming one with man, that's how he brought the words to pass. That's how he expressed them, because he came one with man. And so when he done that, it was sort of hidden. People didn't realize that it was coming to another, to all of the bride, that same part. It was hidden all down through the ages. And now to these sons of God, who by him overcome, are given the privilege of paradise of God and the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. There will never more be any separation from him. Whether he goes, his bride will go. What is his? He shares with his bride on a joint heir relationship. And brother and sister, if I guarantee if the prophet was here, he could take that message and just that one sentence and just break it on down and on down and on down. And he did in other places. But joint heir. We're joint heirs. Those that are outside the city, they're not joint heirs. Look what he said. He says, what is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. Those outside the city don't get all that. They're not joint heirs. They're not his brethren. They're not his wife. They have life, but they're not any of these things. And this is why he says it only to her. This is why this revelation is to her. The secret things will be revealed. The dark things will be made plain. We shall know as we are known. We shall know. We shall know him the way he knows us. And we shall be like him. He is the heritage. This is the heritage. What's the heritage? It's the inheritance of the overcomer, who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony to Jesus Christ. Amen. So picking up in Shalom, let's come on down here and start talking more and more about this end time. The thing that God is bringing, brought to pass in Christ, and now has bringing it to pass in his bride. God is in man. And he's identifying himself today in his church, in the born again Christian. God identifies himself that he remains God. And the outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. That's the only way they're going to know God. How pitiful is that? Maybe there's a few of those that will come. That's the only way that they'll know God is when we are written epistles. Epistle of the scripture. We are read of all men. And the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. A man is identified by the works that he does. Why? Because Brother Ram said, works is faith expressed. By the works that he does, so our works should be good. See, always good, because we are representing our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is, especially when an old man like me stand here and think of the life that's fading away, that's gone in the past, and we're facing a future of an eternity. And knowing if this life is only what I had hopes in. Think about that. That's the majority of the people in the world today. Knowing if this life is what I had hope only. I'm sorry. And knowing if this life only is what I had hopes in, I would be a most miserable person this morning. We've all been those miserable people until the Lord changed us. He changed us. Our mind is on the future now. But knowing that this life has only been a shadow of what we have had to come, it's a reflection, because it cannot be the perfect thing that God made. God doesn't make anything that perishes. See, God is eternal. And therefore, this life that we now live in is only reflecting what is ahead of us. The real one that cannot die. The body that cannot perish. The life that cannot be taken. See, and therefore, the scriptures is right when it says that we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. We shall never die, see, because you become, when you're born again, you become part of God. See, you're forever, for eternity, never to fail. You are part of God because you're his son. When you're born again, You become part of God. Now, I shouldn't have to say anything about Adam right there. There was the first sheaf. This is in the rising of the sun. And we talked about those, all those prophets before that come and brought their word. And after they brought their word, it was manifested in Christ. There was the first sheaf come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all prophets. There has been churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, brides, brides. But there has got to come one. If he's saying, and this is the prophet, is this not prophecy when he speaks it? But there has got to come one. Hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. And this is the one that is the Eliezer. There must come one. And the Eliezer is the one that went and got the bride and took her back to their husband. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics. Now you listen to him talk about this mechanics and dynamics. I know we've talked about this a bunch. Many ministers have. One that's not only got the mechanics, the word, but the dynamics of it. Makes that church live. Move in the power of his resurrection until we come to the place, until we find that place. What good does it do to polish the hubs? What good does it do to argue about this scripture and argue about that scripture? That's what they're doing, polishing the hubs, Brother Ram said. What good does it do to give a facelift or a simonized job when there's no dynamics in it? And then he turns it around there. Well, there's no good polishing the thing that's already a car. It just won't go. And now here's something that ain't got anything in it. Give her a facelift or a simonized job when there's no dynamics in it. No matter how much the mechanics prove to be right. No matter how much it proves to be the right word. The right doctrine. The right, everything about it, right. There has got to be a dynamics to make it work. That's what he proved. Jesus. That's what he proved. That it had to be the dynamics as well as the mechanics. That's what he proved, hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself. He wasn't only the letter. He wasn't only the doctrine. He was the living doctrine, the living Word. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself. The dynamics in the Word. So when Jesus spoke way back there, when God spoke way back there and said, "Let there be light," that was the Word. But without God believing in that word and bringing it to pass, it wasn't going to happen. But we know it happened. He believed and it come to being. And we've just talked about the bride. Now he's bringing it down into the bride now. The dynamics in the word. That made. Now listen. Because he had the dynamics in his word, even after he was dead and cold in the grave, it still raised him back up. That made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, dead in the grave, shake into life and rise up and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead, the moon said he was dead, the stars said he was dead, all nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to reckon now. The whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it. And as he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling. It's the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. Whether it's Brother Branham, anybody. She has to be the fulfilling of all that. Why? Because it's the last one. It's the one he's talking about. It can only manifest. It does something different from the, if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power, she is him. Could you imagine Brother Branham making this statement back there? In a world where there's all these denominational churches, that this was such a strong sermon, they would just be blown away. They wouldn't know what in the world he's talking about. Now he says she's him. She's him because she's the manifestation of all those words that were spoke of her. As man and woman are one, and woman taken from his side, she had taken a spirit, the feminist spirit, from him. The flesh from his side, both made mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. Amen. All right, so let's go here to Christ is revealed in his own word. And we believe that we are ending up this world's history. And if you don't believe that, just turn on the news for a little bit. I heard the other day, all these Jews from all over the world were going back to Israel to help them defend. Go back in and help them defend. Because many, many that were abroad in different countries went back over there. And what did Brother Ram say? He only blesses Israel when they're in their homeland. This world's history is about over. We believe that we are ending up this world's history now. And soon time will fade into eternity. Time, what is time? That's when God allows things in a permissive way to be. And that is going to start fading out into the eternity where he has his perfect will. And soon time will fade into eternity. And we want to be ready for that hour. The hour that time fades into eternity. That's what we want to be ready for. And it's why, that's why we're assembled here this morning. So we can be ready for that hour when time fades into eternity. Is to prepare for that time. Brother, you talk about prophecy. I am told that there are many of the telephone hookups this morning across the nation from coast to coast, wherever our voices is coming. And may that little group be blessed. Heal the sick that's among them. And I pray that you'll cleanse their souls from all evil. And help us here this morning at the tabernacle that we also may enjoy the great privilege, that great privilege. And we ask that you'll speak to us today through thy written word, and may the Spirit reveal to us the things that we have need of. Now that's not just spiritual understanding, but it's things that you have need of. Like today, Michael has need of healing. And Brother Branham's praying this prayer. And so we want to pray along with him. May the Spirit reveal to us the things that we have need of. As we have gathered nationwide now, feeling that we are a small people, but have a place among the redeemed because we have believed on Jesus Christ. Grant these things to us, Lord. And when we close the service and we go to our different homes across the nation, may we say, like those from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the road? That makes me want to go listen to that service right now. But I want us to keep, want us just to rest it with the Lord about Brother Michael, and not, and just let him find some relief until the healing has taken place. And we appreciate everybody sitting so quiet and nice this morning. And I just appreciate his word so much. And appreciate being around those who appreciate it the same way. Let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so happy, Lord, that we found grace in your eyes, Lord, that you were mindful of us, as Brother Branham said, and to think that the great God, the God that created everything, as we heard this morning, Lord, would be mindful of part of that creation, Lord, and not only that, to think that that character that you have in you is in your bride. The same, Lord. Those same traits are in her. Not one missing, Lord. Not one left out. Every trait that you have is in her, Lord. May we walk in obedience to all that word, Lord. Lead us, direct us, Lord, as we ask it now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.